Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The city, and you may want to take the time to check the appropriate websites, GNO Inc., as well as NewOrleans.com, putting information out there about what's happening and great two places to visit. And later we'll get an additional website from Jay Cicero about information being provided by them as well. We're going to visit with J.P. Morrell in the 12:30 segment of the show. New Orleans City Council member at large, J.P., was in court Thursday regarding the Plaza Tower when a judge ruled that the city contractors can proceed with the preliminary work for the demolition of the blighted skyscraper. Thank God. Now, I know that this is a difficult thing to do. There's a balance of interest, right? You want to try to get a piece of property back into the stream of commerce. But it doesn't always happen, right? I mean, sometimes it's more difficult. I mean, it's been out there a number of years. I think this particular owner, developer, has had it in their possession for 10, if not more. They're behind on fines. There are all kinds of actions that have been taken by the city. Had they started earlier, maybe we would be further down this road, but there's no reason to go back and Monday morning quarterback, but here we are. I think it's the right thing for the city to do. If it's not capable of getting put back into the stream of commerce in a reasonable amount of time, the taxpayers of this city should not be burdened with stuff falling off the building, an entire neighborhood being shut down relative to street closures. We have a lot of critical services right in that area. People are having to make accommodations to get around, hotels, the Superdome, the arena, the post office, for one, the train station. We shouldn't be burdened with that eyesore sitting there with netting all around the building for years on end, waiting for what? Math has no emotion. I don't know that the math on this situation is going to change substantially in any time in the near future, right? In fact, to the contrary, office buildings are moving in a negative direction. A lot of those types of structures are moving in a negative direction. Conversions from buildings to hotels, somewhat moving in a negative direction. That has the benefit of being a historic building. It may not be enough oomph, because it has some engineering issues that have to be dealt with as well. I mean, we just have to be honest about where we find ourselves. Some people buy things that just not a good investment. But we as taxpayers shouldn't be burdened with developers' bad investments. You made them. It didn't work. The eyesore, we ought to be able to do something with it. And I think it's time. I mean, I don't know how any developer owner goes into court and complains that this is onerous. I mean, this has been going on for over 10 years. How much is enough time? How much do you need? And every time that there seems to be some aggressive action, we start talking about how we have a purchaser looming out there in the shadows and the bowels of society, thinking about and dreaming about maybe buying the Plaza Tower building. Time to move on. Well, we'll get all the particulars, and JP also wants to talk a little bit about Mardi Gras, and we'll talk about that as well. At the beginning of the 12 o'clock hour, we'll talk with Tim Temple, Louisiana Insurance Commissioner, and Tim will give us a general insurance update, auto insurance, talk about the cold weather that's coming in next week as well. And I want to ask him about his thoughts about what's happening in California relative to fire insurance. Some of the provisions that we had in mandating insurance companies in the state of Louisiana, they actually had those on steroids. And what it led to was exactly what Tim Temple said would happen, is that the commercial market left. And they ended up going to the FAIR plan. And I know they're coming out under a lot of criticism. Look, if I feel like I'm one of those that I can fall on both sides of this issue and looking at things objectively and placing blame where it's due and recognizing a business model that cannot work. And I think what happened in California with the onerous provisions that they had, that business model was not going to work. And so they ended up with a double whammy there. And from what I understand, there are some preliminary estimates that in the Palisades, for example, a half of the folks living there are uninsured. And if that, in fact, is the case, these conversations that people are having that they're going to re-engineer and redevelop the Palisades in 2 years, they better put the peyote away, because that is not going to happen. You're creating false expectations for folks, and all that is going to do is create a high level of disappointment, and that's going to lead to them turning on you. Be honest with these folks. This is horrible times, a horrible situation. Their lives, in many respects, are ruined, and there's no sense in engaging and puffing and trying to make it sound better, feel better than what it actually is, because you have to execute. And the truth be told, probably not going to happen. I don't know if you've been following what's going on in South Korea. Bruce Klingner is going to join us, Senior Research Fellow, Asian Studies Center at the Heritage. South Korea's President Yoon Suk-yeol became the first sitting Korean president to be arrested and taken to a detention center here recently. Things are unwinding really quickly there. We'll get the backdrop as to what was the lead up to this situation. He's been in office about 2 years. He won, I think it was about 0.8 of a point separation between him and the finisher in second. No mandate by any stretch of the imagination. Some of the same issues that we're facing here are hot button issues there. We'll figure out more about what's going on there. But what's critically important is that South Korea is an incredible ally to us in Southeast Asia. And as this uncertainty and instability progresses forward, doesn't make it any easier for us from a foreign policy standpoint in dealing with the issues in Southeast Asia. At 11:10, we'll visit with the president and CEO of Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation, the R&L Carrier New Orleans Bowl, New Orleans Super Bowl host committee, Jay Cicero, with our ramp up to the Super Bowl show. Things are getting close, and when the restrictions start going in is when you recognize and realize that that event is right there knocking on your front door. I thought it would be appropriate to talk a little bit this morning about some issues relative to Homeland Security and what's going on, because while we are on air, Governor Kristi Noem from South Dakota is testifying before the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee at the present time for her confirmation to be the head of Homeland Security for this country. She would take the place of Alejandro Mayorkas, who, in my view may have been the worst Department of Homeland Security cabinet member, secretary that we have ever had in this country. And just when I thought I'd seen the rock bottom relative to this individual, I was wrong. There's a report out of the Washington Times where Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas blessed his employees with another 3 days of taxpayer-funded vacation time, bringing his four-year total to granting them more than six additional weeks of time off, which is the equivalent of $3 billion worth of bonus time off. In fact, Mr. Mayorkas is so popular, he's known as Santo Mayorkas for his frequent vacation indulgences, announcing extra time, again, in a departing message just this week. I mean, he's just throwing this out like it's your money, the taxpayers' money. They have a very liberal leave policy, but doesn't seem to be enough. He wants to give them more. All the while, most of their employees aren't even working in a federal building. They're working from afar, right? So he granted an additional 269 hours over the four-year period of time. They say it's probably a record for a single administration. If you work a standard eight-hour workday, that means you got an additional 6 weeks of leave, 3 days, and 5 hours extra time off during your service with the Biden administration under Alejandro Mayorkas. The records show that in 2021, he granted 45 hours of extra time off. In 2022, he granted 48 hours of extra time off. Remember, 40 hours is a week, right? So he's granting an additional week off. He hit his stride in 2023 with 9 full days of extra vacation and topped it last year in 2024. He gave 10. So that's 2 full weeks that he gave off in addition to what they accrue in leave. And just to put a little icing on the cake, in this lame duck period, he topped it off by delivering another 3 days. Mighty good of Mayorkas. And the time is actually can be booked and can be used all the way through the end of 2026, right? So new federal workers get 13 days of annual leave. When they get hired, they get 13 days of annual leave. It's 2.5 weeks. Those with at least 3 years in service get 20 days, right? That's 4 weeks of vacation, 5 days a week. Those who cross the 15-year mark get 26 days of vacation. Each employee also earns 13 sick days a year and 11 paid holidays a year. Are we getting this? How much of this do you get at your place? Salary.com estimates that the average hourly pay for a Homeland Security employee is $43. Given the department's 260,000 workers, taxpayers are paying up to $3 billion for extra vacation time that Mr. Mayorkas has approved. Folks inside, although they like getting the time off, managers inside the Homeland Security agents say the leave has been creating a bookkeeping nightmare because, remember, they can book it, they can bank it, and they struggle to track who has actually used the time and still has some coming. And one manager said the department must trust employees and hope they aren't abusing the system. Are you kidding me? Does this sound like a third world country? Sounds like a third world approach. So in reality, we have given these individuals, on average, over a month of vacation in many respects, and they hadn't even worked there 3 years. I just simply don't know of a government job, of individuals at these multitude of different levels in an organization would be given that amount of leave over and above what they receive already, which is one of the most liberal leave times I've ever seen in a long, long time. And this is the organization that's responsible for the security of the homeland, right? And when you start giving off an organization this size that much time, your access to work hours, right? You hopefully get 260 work hours a year out of folks. They're not getting anywhere close to that. So what does that lead to? You're not as effective. You're inefficient. If you're not there working, and then you're not at the place working, you're working from afar, remote work, a lot of this works better with face-to-face with other employees as it relates to any number of disciplines within the Homeland Security realm. Some of this has already come out in the confirmation hearing of Kristi Noem, of some of the frustrations of the members on that Homeland Security Committee and getting information and alike, because they're going after and having chased people in order to get it done. And they wonder why we're having these Homeland Security failures. Secret Service, as you recall, comes under Homeland Security, right? So just when we thought things couldn't get any worse, we find out about this. We'll go to a break, and when we come back, we'll shift our focus to Congress, the ones who have been screaming about reforming immigration. We heard about the Laken Riley bill and how many Democrats voted against that bill. Well, there was another bill that was passed, 274 to 145, and we'll tell you about that bill and how many Democrats voted against that bill and question why when we return. Give us a call. It's No Filter Friday on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line at 504-260-1870. We'll be right back.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
On the text line, is paid time off the only thing that makes him the worst? That's a weak argument. Really? We weren't listening. I said every time I thought it couldn't get any worse, something else crops up, and that's when I went into my conversation about this time off. I mean, if you're comfortable with him just giving additional time unearned to individuals, to everybody, quite frankly, just because he can do so, acting like he's Santa Claus, and just throwing your money out there, fine. That, you have every right to be okay with that. I'm not. And I'm not for a whole host of reasons, because you create expectations of this workforce that this is a practice that's going to continue forward. And we, those of us that are not in support of it, hope that it doesn't continue on. And it shouldn't. It's a bad management practice, right? Basically, you've just made what I think is a prohibited donation. People just don't have the right to go giving people money like this. And this is a lot of money. Billions of dollars over the period of time. It's part of the illness inside the Beltway. We have a very narrow perspective of each individual line. Ah, that's only $1 billion. The budget of this country is huge, far in excess of that. You know, that's not a big deal. Well, if all of these individuals start making billion-dollar decisions like that, right, it adds up. And what right does he have to do that? Well, what right did he have to let terrorists, now on a terrorist watch list into the country, criminals, murderers, rapists, what right did he have to do that? What right did he have to lie to the public? And every milestone that had been articulated for years and started really under Jay Johnson, Obama's Department of Homeland Security director, we far surpassed those milestones of saying that we were in critical a crisis if we passed these certain milestones, and we passed every single solitary one. So that's why I think he is the worst Homeland Security director in the history of the country since we've had Homeland Security in the aftermath of 9/11. And it's somewhat bipartisan, quite frankly, because a number of folks have been critical of him. And, you know, and of course, he's got his Democratic Congress folks supporting a lot of this craziness. They can't ever seem to bring themselves to vote on bills that actually make sense. So consider for the moment, we have an illegal alien that comes to this country, crosses a border illegal, comes in and rapes a woman, right? And Congress passes a bill or introduces a bill to deport that individual. And it only passes 274 to 145. 61 Democrats vote yes. 15 didn't vote. 15 lawmakers didn't vote. What is there something that I'm missing in our society that we believe that if someone comes into this country illegally, commits a crime of rape, sexual abuse, sexual assault, stalking, child abuse, child abandonment, domestic violence, that that's not worthy of being deported? What are we afraid of? What do we fear? That's what I'd like to know. I've heard some say, well, we're going to separate families. Well, we do that every day to Americans. If Americans engage in this, and in fact, in most states, there are some exceptions, some of these crimes you're not going to get a bond on. Or you're going to get such a high bond, unless you are of means, you're never getting out. So what do we fear? Is it just we don't want to give the Republicans a win? So we cut off our nose to spite our face? The Democrats are not going to allow this to make it through both houses? It's the same thing with the Lake and Riley Act. They are in the Senate right now. The way I characterize that bill, and it needs 60 votes to get out, which is tenuous right now. They may not get there, but they're characterizing that bill as though it does something. The other day, one of the Congress people said, we have set up a scenario now that we're going to have to peek into the pants of everybody that walks into a girl's bathroom to determine whether or not that individual has a penis or not. I don't remember that ever happening in all my years in grammar school or high school or college that we had to go check in people's pants and that a law would compel that if somebody, a male, could have walked into the girl's bathroom back then. And I'm sure there are instances of that they did. They were reported and they were arrested. Simple like that. But this is how they justify their position in voting against this bill. I mean, how ludicrous does this have to be? How far does this have to go? And were we were wrong all these years, creating the sanctity of the safety and security of women in their own public bathrooms? This is absolutely crazy. And they have people that are actually buying this boondoggle that they're trying to perpetuate, that this is going to lead to searches of their genitalia in order to gain access into a bathroom. Don't fall prey to it, folks. Do not let their silliness, these are silly people, lead you to believe that that's what this bill actually encourages. Silly people. Because they don't have anything better to say. There's no other way to attack this bill. They can't do it with reason, so it has to be something that's unreasonable. And unfortunately for us, we know that there are many people that live among us that'll take it hook, line, and sinker and go run with it. This happens both ways, right? This is not just unique to one party. It happens both ways. But we have to wake up and understand what's happening here. We talk about bipartisanship. We can't even come to an agreement that if an illegal alien rapes a woman, whether it's an illegal or not, or a citizen or not, that person is worthy of deporting. Who are we trying to protect, and what do we fear? We'll be right back. We'd love to hear from you. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text Line. It is No Filter Friday today. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. It's No Filter Friday. We'll go to the talk lines. Mike and the Marini, you're up. What say you?
Yes. I was just saying or thinking, shouldn't we prosecute those to the full extent of the law if people come here illegally? and they would commit a sex crime, I think they should be incarcerated, then deported. Newell?
That is, if I didn't make that clear in the bill, I apologize, because that's what it requires, is that they would convicted. They would be convicted of this sex crime, and upon conviction of the sex crime, they would then be deportable.
Yeah, but what about the serving their term of their incarceration? That's what I was wondering. Like, if they're convicted of 10 years, would they have to serve that 10 years first and then be deported?
I think they want to get them out of the country. They don't want to have to pay to support this individual while being incarcerated, which could be a cost anywhere between $40,000 and $60,000 a year. So the interest is to deport them as soon as possible.
I understand that, and I see your point. But my take on it is, if our borders remain so porous and they can just come back, it would give them, you know, easy access to come right back in. So if things work right under Trump like they're supposed to, and we start enforcing the laws of America, maybe that'll work out good for us.
No, I don't disagree with you, Mike. I think you're exactly right. If we're not doing anything at the border, that makes no sense. I would rather selectively incapacitate that individual here and just pay the price and make sure, because you know as well as I, he's coming back. And if we don't have our act together at the border and reducing and minimizing the risk of him coming back, it's of no value to deport him.
I agree. And Noel, to me, well, last thing quick is that I feel like if you come here either way, or you live here and you break our laws, you have to do the consequences. All right. So thank you, man.
Absolutely, Mike. Thank you. Have a good weekend. Let's go to Mike in Metairie. Mike, you're up. What say you? Oh, Covington. I'm sorry.
Hello.
Yes, Mike. Go ahead.
Hello. Are you there? Hi.
Yes.
I tried to call yesterday about your comments about the cutting of the Medicare. And why
Medicaid.
Is it that they haven't... Medicaid. Oh, I thought there was a program to cut Medicare by $2.5 trillion. Is that correct?
No, that's Medicaid.
Strictly Medicaid. Okay. Well, then that just blew my comments, because I can't understand why the state officials and every state employee gets retirement until they pass, and then their family member gets their retirement, plus they get insurance that covers them till they pass away. Now, everybody else is on Medicare. Why aren't the state employees on Medicare?
Well, not all state pension funds provide health insurance for their retirees. So, for example, I'm a retiree from the Sheriff's Pension and Relief Fund. Some sheriff's offices funded it. The JPSO, we did not, because, simply put, we could not afford it. And some actually did it and couldn't afford it either, but we acted appropriately. We never did it, and because we couldn't afford it. So not all state employees or state pension funds actually provide medical for their retirees.
And what about, like, the coverage of the insurance? Why aren't they on Medicare like everybody else? Every politician has better insurance than everybody who is retired. And why do they get all the special treatment? Why don't they have to go on Medicare so we could save all of those funds?
Well, what has actually happened, Mike, is that in many cases, not all, because there are some just as you described, but in many cases, a lot of agencies are now compelling their retirees to go on Medicare Advantage plans that they are supporting because of the cost. Because for them to participate with
the costs, I have to pay my costs, but a state employee doesn't have to pay theirs.
Well, no, that's not true. Like, again, some do and some don't. So it's not an across the board thing. But what I'm saying is that some agencies compel those of age that have retired to take advantage of the Medicare Advantage programs or to go on Medicare, even if they provide insurance. And they do that because of cost. They're recognizing that they can't finance that benefit, and they're trying to find a cheaper alternative. Thank you so much for the call, Mike. Let's go to John. John, you're up. What say you?
Yeah. No, I was just, correct me if I'm wrong, some years ago, we were having a rash of cars with license plates from Texas. And I think, if my memory serves me correctly, you stepped in and did something about that. Now, I'm sitting here at Clearview, an airline, and I'm looking to my left, right, in front of me, and two of the three Texas license plates. Is this an insurance deal? Is it taxes that are not coming to us? Do you have any idea what that's all about?
Well, I think what you have is a lot of people moving from Texas to here because of the number of jobs that are available right now. We have a lot of major construction projects here that have brought a lot of Texas workers here. The LNG plants in Plaquemines, big employer, they've had to reach out to multiple states. You're going to find, if you go drive through that parking lot, you're going to find Alabama, Georgia, Texas plates, Oklahoma, a lot of people that have actually worked in the fossil fuel industry in those oil producing states. You see a lot of their plates there. Also, depending on the nature of the economy in Texas, sometimes laborers will end up here for lengthy periods of time. And I know the Kenner police chief has been kind of locking down on that as well, because a number of the folks that are here with a Texas plate are, in fact, not in the country legally. And, you know, they've stepped up on their enforcement of same in cooperation with ICE. And, in fact, I've had him on the show, Keith Conley, a couple of times about this issue, and he's had a number of press conferences about it as well. Thank you so much. Let's go to Terry. Terry, you're up. What say you?
Hey, Merle, why don't you do this? Why don't you bring on the two Democratic representatives from the state of Louisiana who voted against those bills, Troy Carter and the other guy? They're the only two that they voted against. They're from the state of Louisiana. Why don't you bring them on and ask them a question why they voted against this bill, not kicking illegals out of the country? I guess because they're Democrats and they don't want to have that Trump won. And one of the representatives said, well, a little kid might steal a candy bar, and we're going to have to get rid of him out of the country. Are these people that crazy? Are they really that upset that Trump won the election and they can't handle it?
Well, I mean, that's what I was saying. You're going to hear a lot of talk from a lot of people that just doesn't make any sense.
And ask him why he didn't vote for it. Tell him, I mean, give an honest opinion. Troy, why did you even vote for it? Because you're a Democrat and Trump's a Republican? And I bet you'll do the Texas two-step.
Well, I asked him the question about Mike Johnson. There was no way Hakeem Jeffries was going to win the Speaker of the House. I said, you know, you're a Louisiana guy. Why would you and Cleo Fields vote for Hakeem Jeffries when, you know, you're a Louisiana guy? Wouldn't you want to be a little bit more parochial and support your fellow Louisianian, who you know is going to work in the best interest of Louisiana? I mean, over 60% of this state voted for Donald Trump. What other evidence do you need that this should be the appropriate and right thing to do? And I said, so you're telling me that you're going to vote party over your own home state? And to his credit, he was honest. He said, yes.
That's what's wrong with this country today is nobody can just get along and do a compromise. You know, they're going to go vote for whoever, you know, whatever their party tells them to do. And I love listening to the these people drill all these Congress. I mean, all the people, Trump's representatives who are going to be on his committee. what would have happened if they would have done that to John F. Kennedy? You think he'd have got elected president of the United States in the 60s, all the stuff he did? How much did the Kennedys pay their family, to women, to keep their mouths shut? That's what's wrong with this country today. Because I'm sorry, but that's just the way I feel.
No, not at all. No reason to apologize. I think a lot of people are frustrated. We talk about bipartisanship, and 2 minutes later, we have the golden opportunity to be bipartisan. And what happens? We don't vote consistent with bipartisanship. And we don't even vote consistent with the best interests of the state of Louisiana. We are voting for the best interests of our respective party. Kind of confusing, if you ask me. Thank you so much for the call. We will be right back. Stay with us. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. It's No Filter Friday. Give us a shout. So on the 20th, Monday, we will be broadcasting the inauguration of Donald Trump, the 47th president of the United States. It all starts at 10 a.m. with CBS coverage of the procession to the Capitol, the swearing-in ceremonies of President Trump and J.D. Vance, and the inaugural address. And afterwards, you can join WWL News with special with Dave Cohen and myself and expert analysis. We'll be talking about all of the activities and what's going on. Obviously, a number of things are going to happen on Monday. In fact, the Trump administration has revealed that there are 100 executive orders that he will sign on Monday. And on Tuesday, I think there will be several of the cabinet nominees that have already had their committee hearings completed that will go on the Senate floor for a vote to place them in their respective positions as well. We will have some more information as to who. Number of folks went through hearings this week, and of course will continue through next week as well. So we'll be on air from 10 to 4 on WWL and the free Odyssey app, and you want to check in with us. And this inauguration falls on the same day as MLK Day as well. And that's actually a federal holiday. So we'll cover that. Also, this weekend, man, there's a lot of football, and WWL is the home of the NFL divisional round. Saturday at 3 o'clock when the Chiefs take on the Houston, Texas, and Kansas City. Kickoff is at 3:30. And after that, Jaden Daniels and the Washington Commanders, they go into Detroit to take on the Lions, and that's at 7 p.m. And then Sunday, our coverage starts at 1 o'clock when the Philadelphia Eagles host the L.A. Rams. Kickoff at 2 p.m., followed by the Baltimore Ravens that go into Buffalo. Kickoff is at 5:45, and you'll be able to hear all those games right here on WWL.